A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 16th April 2024, Tuesday class. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa.Namo Pusen Pusa, Namo Pusen Pusa, Namo Dishangwang Pusa, Namo Dishangwang Pusa, Namo Dishangwang Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagawa.Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sao.Kesanggo Sanghang Namami. Namo Atase Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhase. Namo Atase Bhagavato Arahato Sama SambuddhaseNamo Atase Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhase Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang GacchamiDutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang GacchamiTatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Kamesu MicchacharaViramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Musawada Mani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Surameraya Majjhapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang SamadhiyamiAnd to page 3 of the chanting book, we shall continue our puja chanting from Padipa Puja onward. Ganna sarapa dittena dittena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambara yutenaDupena hang sugang hena Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana mutamang Vanna-ganda-guno-petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe puje me bedang kesume nanena punne na mete na ce hotu mokang pupang mila yati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bawang Adivase tuno bante paniyang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang Adivase tuno bante pale parika pitang anukampang upadaya Patikan hatu mutemang Adiwasi tuno bante Bojanang parika pitang Anu kampang upadaya Patikan hatu mutemang Now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dhanaparami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the affinity and condition to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Remember the four supports that you need to develop this awareness within. So awareness based meditation need the four support. When you understand the first three support, it will help you a lot. It can transform your mundane thinking mind straight away to develop the awareness within. So instead of trying to force the mind to be quiet or peaceful, you should actually develop the understanding of how this awareness can be developed. So the first three support actually are mind state that will support you to develop this inner awareness. Then after that, maintaining the awareness is the second support. And after that, the third support is to stabilize this awareness that you have developed. So ability to be in a state of relax is the first support, relax body and mind. Then after that, whatever arise, just aware. So maintaining awareness is very important. As a human being, we have a physical body and a consciousness trapped inside. So the physical body has the senses. Then together with the consciousness, they can trigger off consciousness upon contact of the mind at the respective sense basis. It can trigger off the respective sense of consciousness. So we will be able to develop the consciousness of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. So this arising consciousness, whenever there is contact between the mind and the sense basis, is where we need to maintain awareness to understand what is going on within our own form and mind. So maintaining awareness is very important. Whatever arises, aware, finish. As per the Buddha's explanation, in the seeing, initially what arises is just the seeing consciousness, no one to see. So if you don't maintain awareness within, you cannot understand this statement. You cannot witness and discover the truth of this statement. Similarly, all the other senses is the same. It also applies to seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. So awareness-based meditation is to develop this ability to be aware, to observe and understand clearly what is going on within our own form and mind, thereby understanding clearly who we are, what we are, and how we function as a human being. Okay, I will let you continue with your meditation. Remember the first three support. Relax, then maintain awareness. Don't try to do anything, don't try to know. Then stabilize the awareness. Okay, you all can now slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, turn to page 6 of the chanting book. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang. Dhammasvanankalo Ayang Padanta. Dhammasvanankalo Ayang Badanta. Dhammasvanankalo Ayang Badanta. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Iti beso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho. Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavidu. Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarti satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati. Svakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehi basiko opanaiko pacyatam veditabbo vinohiti. Supatipanno bhagavato savakkasangho. Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savakkasangho. Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakkasangho. Samichipatipanno bhagavato savakkasangho. Yadidam chatari purisa yukani hatta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakkasangho. Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo Anjali karaniyo anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati. Sadu, sadu, sadu. Okay, you all can be seated. Now we shall continue with our sharing. We'll be sharing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Flower Sutta, Volume 4, Chapter 3, A Parable. This is the commentaries by Master Xuan Hua. Okay, we are at page 555 of this book. So we'll continue from where we stopped. They'll be well versed in all the gateways to the Dhamma. Straightforward, ingenious, and steadfast in their resolve. Bodhisattvas such as these were abound in that land. So all these great beings, the bodhisattvas, they will be very well versed in all the gateway, to the Dhamma. Gateway here means it's like a passage or Dhamma door where you can pass through. When you pass through that Dhamma door, you will understand all the teaching inside there. But after you awaken to that aspect of the Dhamma, then that Dhamma door like opens up. And it's just like you can go in. So this gateway is like the passageway into that Dhamma door. Okay, we go on to the commentaries. Commentary by Master Xuan Hua. These great bodhisattvas will know the access to all Dhamma. A gateway connotes a clear passageway leading to the ultimate reality of all phenomena. Their temperament, their qualities, their demeanor and behavior are straightforward and not deceptive. Being genuine, they are not false. They are truthful in all they do. They are unwavering in their commitments to the Buddha Dharma. They cannot be sidetracked. They will not retreat. Great bodhisattvas like these will be everywhere in the land of Tathagata flower radiance during the eons called the Greece with great treasure. So at that time, means Sariputta Sasana, where he became the Sammasambuddha, he will be called the Tathagata flower radiance. So during that eons, they call it the Greece with great treasure, means a lot of great beings, bodhisattvas, exist at that time. Okay, move it up. Now we go to the next part of the sutta. So here, the subheading is lifespan. The sutta says, Sariputta, the lifespan of Buddha flower radiance will be 12 small eons. This lifespan does not include his time as a prince prior to becoming a Buddha. The lifespan of the people in that land will be 8 small eons. 10 commentaries. Sakyamuni Buddha continued. He said, Sariputta, the lifespan of Buddha flower radiance will be 12 small eons. This lifespan does not include his time as a prince prior to becoming a Buddha. What is meant by a small aeons? Here, according to Theravada tradition's teaching, it said every 100 years, the average human lifespan decreases by 1 year, and the average height decreases by 1 inch. So this one is based on what has been recorded. I think it's just a general average. Then he said, we are now in the period of decreasing. Means at that time when the Buddha was delivering this Lotus Flower Sutta, that era, he called it the era, the lifespan has decreased. We are at the period of decrease. Until when the lifespan has decreased to 10 years, then it will start to rise again. And at the time, Xuan Hua was saying, we are now at an average lifespan of 60 to 70s. It will begin to increase again, continuing until the average lifespan reaches 84,000 years. So that one, I think, not easy to comprehend. Average lifespan can be so long, 84,000 years. Then this one is a definition. One period of increase and one period of decrease comprise a small aeon. So how long is 12 small aeon? You can take some time and figure it out. The lifespan of 12 small aeons does not include the time when he was prince before he became a Buddha. Then the sutta say the lifespan of the people in that land will be 8 small aeons. Then the sutta continue. After 12 small aeons, Tathagata flower radiant will confer upon Bodhisattva solid fullness, a prediction of Anuttara Samyat Sambohi, and will announce to all bhikkhus. Bodhisattva solid fullness shall next become a Buddha known as flowery feet, peaceful walking, Tathagata Arahat Samyat Sambohi or Samyat Sambuddha, and his Buddha land will also be thus. Then the commentary, yeah? Regarding the sutta part, after 12 small aeons, Tathagata flower radiance will confer upon Buddha solid fullness, a prediction of Anuttara Samyat Sambohi. Means he will give Bodhisattva solid fullness a prediction. Solid means firm, fullness means complete. What is firm? His resolve. What is complete? Also his resolve. What is his resolve? His resolve is to become a Sammasambuddha. Since his resolve to be a Sammasambuddha is complete, Tathagata flower radiance will give him a prediction of Anuttara Samyat Sambohi, a prediction of Buddhahood, the unsurpassed, complete, perfect awakening. Tathagata flower radiance will confer the prediction and will announce to all the bhikkhus, or more broadly speaking, to the fourfold assembly of bhikkhus, bhikkhuni, upasaka, and upasikas, the following news. After I have entered Nirvana, Bodhisattva solid fullness shall next become a Buddha known as flowery feet, peaceful walking, Tathagata Arahat Samyat Sambuddha, and his Buddha land will also be thus. Means his name will be flowery feet, peaceful walking, because when he walks, flowers will spring up to support his feet, allowing him to walk very peaceful, very peacefully. Tathagata is the thus-come one. Arahat is the one worthy of offering. Samyat Sambohi is one of right and universal knowledge. His land will be just like the land of Tathagata flower radiance with Vaidura. With Vaidura as his ground, and 8 intersecting roads lined with rows of trees of the 7 treasure, and 7 layers of nettings. And next part of the sutta say, Sariputta, when Buddha flower radiance has passed into Nirvana, his proper Dhamma shall remain in the world for 32 small aeons. His semblance Dhamma shall also remain in the world for 32 small aeons. Then we go to the commentary. Yeah? So when the sutta says, Sariputta, when Buddha flower radiance has passed into Nirvana, his proper Dhamma shall remain in the world for 32 small aeons. Well, means last very long. There are 3 Dhamma ages, the proper Dhamma age, the semblance Dhamma age, and the Dhamma ending age. During the proper Dhamma age, the Buddha's proper Dhamma dwell in the world. How long will Tathagata flower radiance proper Dhamma remain in the world? 32 small aeons. During this time, people will be vigorous in meditative samadhi. Then the next part of the sutta says, his semblant Dhamma shall also remain in the world for 32 small aeons, meaning during which people will be vigorous in building temple and Buddha images. Then the Dhamma ending age will follow the semblance Dhamma age. What is meant by Dhamma ending age? It means an era or age in which there is no more Dhamma. The Dhamma will have come to its final stage, like the tips of branches on a tree. So the proper Dhamma age can be likened to the roots of a tree, the semblance Dhamma age to the trunk, and the Dhamma ending age to the twigs, the tips of the branches. During the semblance Dhamma age, people will still create Buddha images. But during the Dhamma ending age, they will not even do that. What will they do? They will have a strong tendency to fight. You fight with me, I fight with you. Everybody will think only about fighting, think of fighting with one another. And the whole Dhamma will disappear. Without the wholesome Dhamma, the Buddha Dhamma will perish. Presently, there are words on the printed sutra pages when the Dhamma ending age arrive. The word will disappear from the sutta. Why? The chemical warfare made possible by scientific progress will create pollution to the point that currently there is not a single place where the air is clean. The air is full of poison. So when people breathe it, if they do not get cancer, they come down with some other incurable disease. Therefore, during the Dhamma ending age, because of impure air, gradually the words of the sutta will be poisoned right off the paper. So this is based on Xuan Hua's commentary. Then according to Xuan Hua, Master Xuan Hua, he predicted. He said the first sutta to disappear will be the Surangama Sutta, Leng Yan Jing. So in the West, our priority is to advocate the Surangama Sutta and investigate it. Why do we recite the Surangama Sutta or mantra every day during morning recitation? If there is no one in the world who can recite the Surangama mantra, the demons, the globins, can come to the world. As long as there is a single person in the world who can recite the Surangama mantra, they do not dare to come into the world. Also, the 42 hands and eyes work the same. So long as there is a single person who has mastered the all-encompassing Dhamma of a thousand hands, not a single demon in the Trichelon Gosam will have the gall to appear in the world. So now our recitation of the Surangama mantra sustains the proper Dhamma age. We are now turning the period that are destined to be Dhamma ending age into proper Dhamma age. I think the next part of the sutta will cover the reiterative verses. Verse about realization of Buddhahood. Verse about formative practices. Verse describing his time and the name of his aeon. Verse describing his land. Verse describing the assembly. Verse about the teaching of the Dhamma. Verse about his lifespan. Then verse describing the duration of his Dhamma and the concluding praise. Okay, we'll continue. At that time, the world honored one, wishing to restate his meaning spoke in verse. Sariputta, in a future age, shall become a Buddha honored and all-wise, known as Flower Radiance, who will save countless multitudes. And commentary. Yeah? At that time, means referring to when Sakyamuni had conferred a prediction upon Sariputta. The well-honored one, wishing to restate his meaning, spoke in verse. Meaning, the Buddha wanted to repeat himself in greater detail, so he spoke this verse. Sariputta, in a future age, shall become a Buddha honored and all-wise, known as Flower Radiance, who will save countless multitude. Means in the future, Sariputta will become a Sammasambuddha who will save all living beings and will be honored for his great wisdom. This Buddha's name will be Flower Radiance, and he will rescue countless, limitless living beings. Then we come to the next one, verse about formative practices. Having made offering to countless Buddha, and having perfected the Bodhisattva practices, the Ten Powers, and other merits, he shall realize supreme awakening. Commentaries. Means having made offering to countless Buddha, and having perfected all the Bodhisattva practices, the Ten Powers, and the other merits. Why will he become a Buddha? He will become a Buddha because he will have made offering to countless numbers of Buddhas, and will have practiced the six paramitas and the mind-right practices. These comprise the Bodhisattva path of benefiting oneself and benefiting others, awakening oneself and awakening others. So here, I think what Master Shenhua is trying to explain is, for all those who cultivate the Bodhisattva way until final realization of Sammasambuddhahood, they would have made offerings to countless Buddha. This one we saw in many parts of the suttas. Almost every of this Lotus Flower Sutta is repeated, mentioned many times. So the Bodhisattva way really is very unique. It may take very long, and you will definitely encounter a lot of Sammasambuddha. Then you will receive your prediction, then your perfection, then all of those unique perfection and qualities that you have developed will transform into your final realization of Sammasambuddha. Then now we move on to the Ten Powers. The Ten Powers are as follow. The wisdom of discerning right and wrong in every situation. So this is one of the rare wisdom that Sammasambuddha has. Then the next one is wisdom of knowing karmic result throughout the three period of time. And this is also very unique. This one needs a lot of wisdom, perfection and understanding. Then the wisdom of knowing all the stages of Dhyan transformation, liberation, and samadhi. Number four, the wisdom of knowing the superior and inferior potential of living beings. Number five, the wisdom of knowing the interest and inclination of living beings. Number six, the wisdom of knowing the condition of living beings. This one is definitely a quality that all great beings and Sammasambuddha has. The wisdom of knowing the condition of living beings. Then number seven, the wisdom of knowing the future rebirth of all living beings. So this one, Sammasambuddha can develop the understanding. Means by means of this wisdom, one knows that living beings who cultivate the five precepts and the ten good deeds will be born in the heavens. One who knows that those who cultivate the Four Noble Truths will in the future realize the fruition of Arahantship, while those who cultivate the dwelling of Paticchasamuppada, of dependent arising, or law of dependent origination, will realize the fruit of Pacheka Buddhas, and those who cultivate the six paramitas and the mind-right practice of the Bodhisattva way will eventually realize the fruition of Bodhisattvahood. Then number eight, the unobstructed wisdom of the heavenly eye that knows the future rebirth and death of living beings and their coming reasons. Then number nine, the non-outflow wisdom of knowing past life. Number ten, the wisdom of knowing the permanent elimination of habitual tendency. See, this part, habitual tendency, is very difficult to root out. But when you have developed the wisdom and perfection to a level of stability that enable you to have this understanding, then you can actually permanently root it out. They use the word permanently, permanent elimination of habitual tendency. Because Sariputta has perfected the above 10 merits, the merits of the 10 powers and of various other Dhammadhar, including the 18 attributes unique to a Buddha, the Four Noble Truths, the dwellings of dependent origination, the six paramita, and the mind right practices of the Bodhisattva way, he shall realize supreme awakening. Okay, then we go to the next part of the sutta. Verse describing his time and the name of his aeon. Following upon countless aeons of cultivation, his aeon shall be named Grace with Great Treasure. Commentaries. Following upon countless aeons of cultivation and perfection, his aeon shall be called or named Grace with Great Treasure. So after countless aeons has passed and Sariputta has become a Sammasambuddha, his aeon will be called Grace with Great Treasure. I mean, it's a very unique era. Then next part of the sutta, verse describing his land. His world, called free from defilement, shall be pure and without flaw, with Vaidura as its ground. Its road shall be bordered with golden cords, multicolored trees make of the seven treasure, and shall continually bloom and bear fruits. Commentaries. His world called free from defilement shall be pure and without flaw, means the world where he realizes Buddhahood will be called free from defilement. Why will it have that name? Is because his world will be extremely pure, clean, without any pollution. It will not have the slightest flaw. Just like a piece of beautiful jade with no imperfection. Then with Vaidura as its ground, this road shall be bordered with golden cords, multicolored tree, made of seven treasure, shall continuously bloom and bear fruits. Commentaries. The ground shall be made of blue gem Vaidura. The multicolored tree of the seven treasure may be a mixture of blue and white, a blend of red and yellow, and a combination of green and red. The combination of color will cause those who see this tree of seven treasure to bring forth the Bodhi resolve. Why are they so beautiful? They are beautiful so that when people see them, they bring forth the resolve, thinking, this place is so fine, I would better quickly cultivate so that I can come here. The tree of the seven treasure will always be in bloom and will constantly bear fruits. Then next part of the sutta was describing his assembly. The bodhisattva in that land will always hold firm to their resolve. They will all have perfected the spiritual powers and paramitas. In the presence of countless Buddha, they will master the bodhisattva path. Means Sariputta's future assembly, yeah, when he becomes a Sammasambuddha, will be very unique. Yeah. Means these bodhisattvas in that land, they will always hold firm to their resolve, and they will have all perfected the spiritual power and parameters in the presence of countless Buddha that they come into contact with. They will master the bodhisattva path, means they have all perfected their cultivation. Okay, commentary. The bodhisattva in that land, free from defilement, whose aeon is called grace with treasure, great treasure, will always hold firm to their resolve, means their resolve and their intention will be extremely resolute. All of them will have attained the three kinds of irreversibility. Irreversibility in position, irreversibility in mindfulness, and irreversibility in practice. So this is the part which I share with you all. When you are able to perfect yourself going through the bodhisattva way cultivation, you have to go through the five stages of Bodhi mind development. So when you go through the first and the second, you are still not safe yet, in the sense that you can still fall back. Yeah. So here, he said their resolve and their intention will be extremely resolved. Means all of them, those great beings, the bodhisattva in the assembly, they will have attained the three kind of irreversible. Here it means you won't fall back already. Yeah. So the three type of irreversible, the first one is in position. Means you will not fall from that position anymore. Yeah. But to do that, you must at least complete the stage 3 Bodhi mind development. Means you must cultivate until you have that Bodhi mind that can illuminate that nature. So when you reach that state, then you can have these 3 irreversible. First is irreversibility in position. Means from there on, you will not fall back anymore. Then irreversibility in mindfulness means you cannot lose track of your mindfulness, the awareness nature within. Then the last one is irreversibility in practice. Means your cultivation will go out all the way, because your spiritual nature by then would have developed a lot of understanding, perfection. The stability of understanding is already so established until it's irreversible. Means you cannot fall back anymore. They will all have perfected the spiritual powers and parameters, means they will all have perfected great spiritual powers, attain the parameters, and arrive at the other shore. In the presence of countless Buddha, Sammasambuddha, they will master the Bodhisattva path, means they will study and practice the Bodhisattva way, cultivating all the Dhamma doors of the six paramitas of perfection and the mind right practices. Then, thus about the teaching of the Dhamma. Great beings such as these will be transformed by Buddha flower radiance. Great beings such as these, countless, limitless, great Bodhisattva will be taught and transformed by Buddha flower radiance. The next part of the sutta say verse 17, verse about his lifespan. That Buddha, while still a prince, shall renounce his kingdom and worldly glory, and in his last incarnation, leave home to realize Sammasambuddhahood. Buddha flower radiance shall dwell in the world for a lifespan of 12 small aeons. The people of his land shall live for 8 small aeons. Commentaries. That Buddha, while still a prince, shall renounce his kingdom and worldly glory, and in his last incarnation, leave home to realize Buddhahood. Commentaries. While Tathagata flower radiant is still a prince, destined to become a king, he will choose to renounce his right to the throne for seeking all the wealth and honor that would have been his. In his very last life, he shall leave the home life to become a bhikkhu who will cultivate and eventually realize Buddhahood. Buddha flower radiance shall dwell in the world for a lifespan of 12 small aeons. What will be the lifespan of his people? The people of his land shall live for 8 small aeons. When that Buddha has entered Nirvana, means this one is the verse describing the duration of his Dhamma and how long the Dhamma Sasana will be. So the sutta say, when that Buddha, means it means Sariputta, when he became a Sammasambuddha. When that Buddha had entered Parinibbana, actually not enter, realized Parinibbana, his proper Dhamma shall remain in the world for 32 small eons, widely saving living beings. When the proper Dhamma comes to an end, semblant Dhamma shall last 32 eons. That Buddha's sarira, means relic, shall be distributed far and wide, honored by God and humans everywhere. So when that Buddha here means the Tathagata flower radiance, means Sariputta in the future, Tathagata flower radiance, has entered Nirvana or realized Nirvana, his proper Dhamma shall remain in the world for 32 small aeons, widely saving living beings. Means during the 32 small aeons of his proper Dhamma age, countless living beings will be saved. Then when the proper Dhamma era comes to an end, the semblance Dhamma shall last 32 aeons. That Buddha's sarira shall be distributed far and wide, honored by God and humans everywhere. Means the relics of Tathagata flower radiance will be widely distributed throughout the world, and many stupas will be built. The celestial being and the humans in the world will make offering to the Buddha's relics, Sarira, and his jewels, Stupa. The next part of the sutta, concluding praise. The deed of Buddha flower radiant shall be such as this. Duly perfect in that honored sage, most supreme and beyond compare. He is just you, yourself. It is fitting that we should rejoice. The Buddha continued. The deeds of Buddha flower radiance shall be such as this. In general, his action shall be as just described, duly perfect, is that honored sage, most supreme and beyond compare. No one will be able to compare with that of the Buddha, a supreme sage, who is perfect in blessings and wisdom. He is just you, yourself. And just who is flower radiant Buddha? He is just you, Sariputta. In the future, you shall become Tathagata flower radiance. It is fitting that you should rejoice. You should be happy and rejoice, for in the future, you will also become Sammasambuddha. So that was when Sakyamuni Buddha gave the prediction to Sariputta. And all this very unique prediction. Oh, 9:30, I can continue a bit more. This part I think I will go through faster because it's just description, not much dhamma for us to develop and share. Okay, the summary of it is, the next section is rejoicing of the fourfold assembly. Then we have the prose. Sutra compiler described the joy of the assembly, describing the offering. The assembly gains understanding. Then the next section is verses. Okay, now we continue with the sutra compiler describe the joy of the assembly. At that time, the fourfold assembly of Bhikkhu, Bhikkhuni, Upasika, and Upasaka, and Upasika, as well as the great multitude of gods, dragon, Yaka, Gandabas, Asura, Garudas, Kimnaras, Mahoraja, Mahoragas, and so forth. Having seen Sariputta receive a prediction for Anuttara Samyutsambhogi from the Buddha, rejoiced and became immeasurably happy. At that time, the commentaries, means after Sakyamuni Buddha has bestowed a prediction upon Sariputta, the fourfold assembly of bhikkhus, men who have left the homeland, bhikkhuni, women who have left the homeland, upasikas are lay people, and upasaka are lay men, and upasika are lay women, as well as the great multitude of gods, demons, yakas, means speedy ghosts who run very fast, gandavas, music spirits of Saka, asuras, who have heavenly blessing but no heavenly virtue. Asura are sometimes included in the three upper rhymes, and at other times in the four lower rhymes. The three upper rhymes are those of the gods, humans, and asura. The four lower rhymes are the asura, the hell beings, the hungry ghosts, and the animal rhymes. Why are asuras categorized as belonging to the four lower rhymes? It's because they are feisty in temperament. They are always trying to pick fight with others. It is because of their aggression that they are included among the four lower rhymes. So this one they call it the demon rhymes. I think demon also got two types. One is the aggressive one. So Asura may also live among humans in the hell, in the heavens, among the animals, and among the hungry ghosts. Asura are those who like to fight. No matter what kind of living being it is, if it likes to fight, it is an Asura. Okay. Then they go on to describe Garudas. Garudas are great golden winged pink birds that have a wingspan of 300 yojanas. With a single flap of their wing, they can dry up the entire ocean and then open their mouth and slurp up the dragons there as if eating noodles. Since their body are huge, their beaks are big as well, so they can swallow dragons just like we eat noodles. The Kinnaras, like the Gandavas, are music spirits of Saka. Then the Mahoragas are big serpents. When the Buddha taught the Dhamma, 8 groups of spiritual beings came to listen, and so forth. Indicate that the multitude is introduced in a general way. There are still many more unspecified classes of beings that are included in the fourfold assembly as well as the 8 group of spiritual beings. The assembly, having seen Sariputta receive a prediction of Anuttara Samyasambhogi from the Buddha, rejoiced and became immeasurably happy. Means the great assembly saw Sariputta receive a prediction of his future Buddhahood, the state of unsurpassed, complete, perfect awakening as Tathagata flower radiance. When they heard that the greatly wise Sariputta would become a Buddha in the future, they were ecstatic. They might even have jumped for joy. So that is how they rejoice. Then next part, describing the offering. Each removed his upper garment and presented it as an offering to the Buddha. The Sakras and the Brahmans, together with countless other gods, also make the offering of wonderful heavenly garments. Heavenly Mandarava flowers and Mahamandarava flowers to the Buddha. Each removed their upper garment and presented it as an offering to the Buddha, means each of them removed their valuable upper garment and presented it as an offering to the Buddha. According to Indian custom, bhikkhus are supposed to uphold the precepts of having 3 and only 3 robes in their possession. What are the 3? One is the Sangati, also called the patriarch robe or the primary robe, which has 25 long pieces and 108 patches. There are also the 7-piece robe and the 5-piece robe. These are the 3 robes monastic own. They can have no more than that. Now, since they remove their robe and offer them to the Buddha, wouldn't they no longer be in possession of the 3 robes and be thereby violating a precept? Whenever monastic travel, they must bring their 3 robes with them. But if they remove their most valuable robe, the patriarch robe, and offer it to the Buddha, does that mean they themselves no longer have it? You should not be so attached to this point. You should not have such rigid outlook. For example, It could have been that some people offer robes to the bhikkhu, who then, having too many robes, offered the new robes to the Buddha. This is one interpretation. Other perhaps, some bhikkhu had passed away and had entrusted their clothing to others, who took this happy occasion to offer their clothing to the Buddha. There are a lot of ways you could explain this. So lay people, of course, can always give their valuables, clothing, as they please. Upper garment can refer to the clothes they wear on the upper part of their body, or it can be referred to as the finest, most expensive garment. Then the sakras and the brahmas, together with countless other gods, also make offering of wonderful heavenly garment, heavenly mandarava flowers and maha mandarava flowers to the Buddha. Saka, also known as Indra, is the lord of the heaven of the 33 devas. A Brahma is a lord in the great Brahma realm or heaven. They and innumerable other gods offered the Buddha the wonderful clothing of the god, white flower and lush white flowers. They also offered the Buddha Manjusaka and Mahamanjusaka flowers, which are red flowers and large red flowers. Then next part. Okay, we just go through. The heavenly garment they have sent, drifting down, remain suspended in air, wailing on their own. All at once, a billion kinds of heavenly music, musical instrument began to play in unison in space, as the heavenly flowers rain down from the sky. Commentaries. The heavenly garment they have sent drifting down, remaining suspended in space, wailing on their own, means the heavenly garment offered by all these gods twirl about in space. All at once, a billion kind of heavenly music instrument began to play in unison in space, as the heavenly flower rained down from the sky. Commentaries. This flower was scattered by the gods. Oh, that is just an explanation. Huh? Okay, I think we stop here. Okay, I'll mark this page. The assembly uttered this word. Okay. So now we come back to our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question that you may have or Dhamma discussion that you want to share, you can. So now we open up. Anybody wants to come in? Kwa, are you there?
Yes, brother, I'm here.
Yeah. You want to ask any question or report your meditation?
Good evening to you, brother Teo.
Yeah, good evening.
All the brothers and sisters of the Dharma.
Yeah.
I would say, I'm proud to say that I think I've totally abandoned my thought base, my false meditation.
Yeah. Thought based approach to meditation.
Yes. It's wonderful because you see the difference when I was using thought to meditate, basically I'm using
thought. You
will
see the big difference because you are just stuck there.
Yes.
Because the thought, when it's active, you cannot be aware and you cannot develop the understanding of what is going on. You only accumulate knowledge through memory, through all the so-called conditioning, belief system, and whatever conditioning that one individual's accumulate since birth until now. It can be through your family's tradition or culture, then you go to school, your school's conditioning. Then as you grow up, you are exposed to a lot of media. They call it, in the early day, I think mostly are written media like newspaper, books, magazine, then all your education. Then from there you grow up, then you have exposure to all the various religion, the teaching, etc. And of course also belief system of our own race and culture. So all this develop the conditioning. And from there, the thought become very active. And the thought is like the only instrument you have to allow you to use it to do whatever you want, including learning how to meditate and other things. That's
yeah,
why
it's true.
Everything
Yes,
is
correct.
More or less thought-based, thought-orientated. So seldom are you able to come to an understanding or a realization that beyond thought, there is another nature inside us, which is just aware, silent. That true mind, the silent mind, the tranquil, still mind. So when you don't do anything, when you just relax, maintain awareness, and let things be, then when the thinking slow down, then all of a sudden, the nature inside will experience that stillness, the tranquility, that silence. And that is the beginning of awareness-based meditation. Then from there, you continue to stabilize it, develop it. And then from there, you become different. Then from that nature, you become aware. You don't think anymore. Then you can see all the movement, the activity, the conditioning, how you become conditioned into those reactive mind state, how the views, the opinion, the conditioning, the duality, they have power over you and cause you to do a lot of funny things in life. That's how you stir your mind. You create reaction to sense experience. Every of this movement is based on your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system. Then you realize all this happened because you hold on to all this without understanding. There is no awareness to observe, to understand what is going on in life, how you became what you are, how you suffer, how you become afflicted. All this you cannot see because you lack awareness. So when you are aware from there, within that silence, you can observe and you can come to know how come you get yourself conditioned into negativity, into suffering, misery, sorrow, lamentation. Why are you sometimes happy, sometimes unhappy, sometimes miserable? Overwhelmed. When you start to be aware, you see all this movement, and then you understand how the teaching comes about, how through awareness you develop understanding of who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being, how your mundane mind actually create all this karmic process, karmic activity, and through the nature's law, how it hit back at living beings, and how all these karmic repercussions, how they manifest and create suffering and misery for living beings. And then the teaching become more and more clear. You start to see the activity of the three evil roots, how they make you evil, where they are called evil roots, roots of all evil. They will make you evil. Then how it condition karmic negativity that bring about your karmic downfall and all those things. So this is the beauty of awareness-based meditation. When you are mindful and aware without thought, you can see, you can observe, you can understand all this. Then you have this, what we call clarity in front of you. You are not lost in thought. You are not preoccupied with all your thinking, activity, your emotion, your sadness, your sorrow, your lamentation. So all this, they are no longer inside your awareness nature. Your awareness nature don't have words, don't have concept, don't have thought, don't have emotion, nothing. It's just that pure clarity, awareness. And through the awareness, you develop wisdom, understanding. You can insight into phenomena and awaken. That's why that silent mind that observes, see, and awaken through the direct seeing, understand things differently. And that one trigger wisdom, understanding. And when you develop all those understanding through the silent mind that observe and insight into phenomena, then you start to understand the teaching very clearly. And then that wisdom prevents you from being deluded, from being deceived by the phenomenal world of consciousness and form. Then all your wrong view, your negativity of action, speech, and thought, you start to develop the understanding of them. Then from there, you develop the cultivation, the purification process. Then all the teaching become like suddenly fall into place, very clear. Starting with the four right effort, then later on developing into the contemplative wisdom. Then the third turning is the meditative wisdom. So the three types of wisdom, first turning, second turning, third turning, they will arise. We call it under the Theravada tradition, Sutamaya Panya. That one is through hearing, listening. But nowadays you can include reading. Then second one is when you reflect, contemplate, and inquire into what has been shared, then it trigger another type of understanding or wisdom that we call Chintamaya Panya, means understanding or wisdom born of constant contemplation and reflection and inquiry. Means with the silent mind, with a creative mind, we observe, we inquire, we contemplate, we reflect. Then suddenly we awaken to all those understanding as we develop the second turning movement. Then after that, you silence your mind to develop mindfulness to meditate. And that is the third turning, Bhavana Maya Panya, wisdom born of Bhavana, the meditative training. Means you cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, starting with Kaya Nupassana or whatever object of meditation that you are familiar with, to train your mind, to anchor your mind, to develop mindfulness first. So mindfulness once developed, the awareness nature will surface. So once you are mindful, aware without thought, you will become different. You will start to have the clarity of understanding that there are two minds. Then you start to use the awareness more and more, and you will start to see the danger of arising the thought heedlessly, means creating unnecessary heedless thinking that make a person heedless. Then when you see this clearly, then you determine to be heedful, no longer heedless. Means you determine to train the mind to be aware, to be silent, to be tranquil, to be still, and use it to develop wisdom, understanding, or stability of it to meditate. So this is what awareness-based meditation is. So when you see the big difference, you will go all out and cultivate it. Then
yeah, it's true.
Then you will understand the beauty of not being trapped in thought-based activity. But you must remember one more point. We live in a conditioned world. We need to use thought.
Yeah.
Because thought is neither good or evil, like I always say. It is the user of thought. When you develop the Dhamma understanding and the wisdom, and you are not deluded by all this so-called delusion created by thought, via Sakkaya Ditti, then you become different. That thought become your friend. That's why in the Noble Eightfold Path, we have right view leading to right thought. You must develop that right view. Then only you know how to use thought. Then only you know how to arise the appropriate right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood to live life. So to live life, we need to use thought. Then we need to communicate with people. We need to use our senses to develop understanding, to arise the appropriate right speech, right thought, and right action to live life. We need to develop all this understanding so that we can become a real human being. We are no longer the heedless that create negativity and unnecessary conflict, argument, war, and division among society, among humanity. So all this understanding will unfold when you develop more and more stability of the awareness-based meditation. Then you start to have a completely different understanding of life. Then you know how to live life. Especially with awareness, you can see and put to test all the teaching that you have learned from the Buddha's teaching. Means the Four Noble Truths is tree turning and all the essential Dhamma that spin off from there. One by one, they will fall into place and you will develop the understanding. Very good. Okay, you
so
can.
I'm fully aware of all this. The process, the understanding that you know, but it's a matter of how I persevere to do it, Brother Teo.
It's a matter of putting it into cultivation and stabilize the understanding.
You always say, you don't push it, is it? It's just, you know,
correct.
When the time comes, it comes to you. Yes, I am aware that, Mr. Abrati, I'm aware, fully aware.
Sadhu, very good. Sadhu, sadhu. Oh, nice to hear that.
Sadhu. Yeah. And one more thing I realized is that the tension, when I was doing the thought base, the tension on the top of your head is no more, is it? There's no more tension.
Oh, very
there.
Good. Sadhu.
The debut of tension disappeared, is it?
Yeah, because the thought-based one, they develop a lot of thought energy there.
Yeah,
because you bring about a good condition. Now you listen, Gua.
Yeah.
Wherever the so-called meditator or cultivator, wherever you focus your mind, you actually build up energy there. No? That's why they have tension, they have stress.
Yes.
But for us, we don't build up energy there. We don't pay attention there, understand? We just relax.
Yes.
Then we maintain awareness. I mean, we stay with the awareness nature.
Yeah.
Then that thought that will create energy movement has no power to come in to create that thing. And the problem with those thought-based one is they cannot be aware on their own. Because they are so heedless. They have been using thought for so long and so rampantly. This thought continuously proliferate and keep on coming out. Because with the senses and their conditioning, since birth until now, they cannot live life without thought. So thought keep on manifesting. And they are so preoccupied with the thinking, the reaction from the emotion, all those things. So much so, they get themselves entangled. Means they are lost in thought, preoccupied with all the thinking. And they give meaning to everything that they come to perceive. whether through their seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, or thought. Even the words, the book they read, the paper, the media, everything condition them. So they are throughout the day too busy thinking about life, planning about life, worrying about life, so much so they never leave life. So because of that, they drain a lot of their energy through thought. That's why thought-based meditation, they need to do something to prevent the thinking. So what they do is they come up with method, technique, and object of meditation to anchor the mind. So they fix the mind. Then they focus, they concentrate, and force the mind not to think. So they kill everything at one point. So this one becomes one-pointedness. So one-pointedness means all their thought energy, they drive into that object of meditation, and they like concentrate on it. That's why the energy will build up, keep on building up. That's why they will have stress, headache.
Yeah, it's true.
And a lot of other problems. Those who do the rising falling one, they develop gastric and all those things. Then sometimes they don't know how to manage their energy. They use it to build up the what they call tan tian and all those things. But if you know how to make use of it for healing or what, I mean, that's a separate matter. That's why Qigong people, they make use of it for healing and all those things. But to develop wisdom, meditation, you cannot use all the qi and the energy. That one is for health purpose. It's a separate matter. But to develop meditative understanding, you need awareness. And awareness is not dangerous. Awareness is a very beautiful nature inside each and every one of us. And when you are with the awareness, you have that that nature's energy that can allow you to understand things. Well, this is wisdom energy, not thought-based energy. The awareness got no thought on, no words, no duality. It's just an awareness nature, tranquil and still. It's just that. But from there, it creates thinking. It creates the manifestation of thought process, the emotion, everything. That's why we call it the magician. It's like create magic to delude us. Yeah. Like the magician, sometimes we call them illusionists. Create illusion for living being to grasp, to cling, to hold. So most living being or human being, they cannot understand all the real. They lack mindfulness to see the manifestation. To them, it's like so real. Everything is like so tangible, so real, so beautiful, so meaningful. That's why they keep on holding to it, clinging on to it, grasping onto it, and accumulate them, and try to own them, possess them. Then create duality to argue, to enter into conflict and all those things. So this is how awareness-based meditation separate from the thought-based meditation. The thought-based meditation can never understand all this that the awareness-based meditation cultivator developed. So for you, when you start to understand all this and experience it firsthand, when you do the awareness-based, your tension, your stress, your problem gone. Well, as long as you don't think, all this problem no more. That's why the Buddha say, all these are sankhara activity. Yeah. Means our mental activity, our thinking, our mental states, our emotion, our views, opinion, conditioning, belief. Everything that we accumulate, everything that the mind can do is called sankhara. That's why the Buddha says, sabbe sankhara anicchang. All sankhara are impermanent. They come, they go. They come, they go. They arise, they pass away. And because they are impermanent, they will lead to suffering. Because you cannot see the universal characteristics. You think they are meaningful. They serve a purpose and honesty. That's why Sabbe Sankara Dukkang is the second stanza that the Buddha always expressed. First, he said, all Sankara, they are impermanent, no reality, not what you think. You hold on to it, one thinks your way, you suffer. Because this Sankara activity, they follow nature's law, the law of karma, the law of dependent origination, the law of truth, Dhamma. You cannot understand, you want things your way, you suffer. That's why he said, Sabbe Sankara Anicchang. After that, Sabbe Sankara Dukkang. All Sankara lead to suffering, misery, affliction. So, without Sankara, you become beautiful. Yeah. Then the third one is the best. Sabbe Dhamma Anatta. Dhamma means whether it's the condition or the unconditioned, it is also anatta. Anatta means not a permanent unchanging entity, or sometimes they call it non-self, not you, or I call it empty nature or existence. Well, if it's not a permanent unchanging entity, you cannot say this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. No way. So all this understanding, when you are aware and mindful, you will see Sankara actually without the wisdom, before you have the Dhamma understanding, you don't know how to use thought. And all thought become deluded thought. And because of that, it will lead to suffering. And you must see the non-self nature, the empty nature, the impermanent nature. So these three universal characteristics of all phenomena, when you are mindful and aware, you can insight into it, you can awaken to it. They are all like that. Every phenomena, whether mental, physical, or nature's phenomena, they exhibit the same characteristic, including all our sankhara activity, our thinking, our emotion, our mind states, our mental intention, our mental states and all those things. That's why they are dependent originating condition arising cause of no, they come and they go. No reality. So mindfulness is the only instrument that can allow us to observe, see and understand and awaken and free our mind from all this delusion, sakkāditthi, self-delusion, and thought activity that leads to all the affliction, the suffering, the misery. So seeing all this is very important. Then now you will start to understand why whenever people use thought, energy will build up there. So if they focus on the breath, the energy will build up there. If they focus at the forehead, the energy will build up there. If they focus at the heart, the tantian, the energy will build up there. So without the awareness, they don't know how to relax into it. They will try to do all the concentration, the absorption, the focusing, the concentration. So all this will create more and more trouble for them. The energy build up, they cannot deal with it. Very good.
It's true what you're saying, Brother Teo. Because previously, I think you just focus, you know, you force yourself, you doubt your mind, is it?
Yes, then, you doubt your mind, and repetitively they focus.
Blurly, you just enter into the meditative, you so-called meditative state, is it?
Correct.
Whereas now
sometimes
it's different.
They
now,
say
now
you actually enter into a trance.
Now with awareness, I see it as something direct. I can see that I'm entering into a meditative state. You see,
correct, sadhu, very good.
Yeah, and I'm not sure whether it is what you call as sati or what, because you know when you enter there, there's nothing to see,
nothing.
No thoughts,
pretty quiet still.
Yeah, but I mean you initially you do have maybe like graphic pictures playing around, is it? But
correct,
after that,
correct,
there's
correct.
Nothing
that
there, is it?
Movement is the natural activity of a calm mind, a tranquil. That's why sometimes they say you can, from that quietness or that calm state, because without thought activity, that pity will arise, means that tranquility of mind. Actually, it's before tranquility of mind. We call it pity. Pity is a type of calmness, a joy, a spiritual joy or calmness. So when pity arises, it will create that image thing, like you mentioned. They sometimes call it, there's a name one, they call it, what you call it, got color on it. Nimitta. Nimitta. So this, like Nimitta, they will appear one, sometimes colorful and all those things. But don't worry, when they appear, be aware of it. That's it. Initially, you want to understand it, you can play with it if you want to. Because once you play with it, you will get absorbed into it. Then it will make you feel very good, very calm, very still. So this pity is a very good mind state, actually. It's also one of the enlightenment factor. The seven factors of enlightenment. First, the Buddha said you must develop sati, mindfulness. Then when you have sati, is the first factor of enlightenment. Means without sati, you cannot be heedful. And the heedless are as if dead. So the teaching starts from there. You need to train your mind to be aware first, mindful. So once you have that mindfulness, awareness, then it can observe. It can investigate into Dhamma, into everything. So when the Dhamma stand up to investigation, then the third factor of enlightenment will arise. You will develop the faith in the teaching. Then when you have the faith, it will drive you to cultivate. That's why from sati, you develop the second factor of enlightenment, which is Dhamma investigate. It can allow you to observe, to understand, to investigate into the Dhamma, to check whether what the Buddha has taught us is the truth or not. Can be Dhammapada verses 1, 2, or whatever. Then all of his sharing regarding the three evil roots, the spiritual faculty, the mental healing, all this you can investigate into it and put it to test. Then it will stand up to investigation. Then you realize this is beautiful. This teaching is really, really beautiful and unique. Then because of that, your faith becomes very strong. From the faith, it drives you to cultivate. That energy that come out, that drive you to cultivate, to remain tenatively aware, that is virya, the third enlightenment factor. So virya is a spiritual tenacity or spiritual zeal, Z-E-A-L, that wants to drive you to cultivate on. So when this spiritual zeal is there, you will go and train your mind and stabilize that sati. Then you experience the quiet mind, which is piti. Then you realize this spiritual joy, they call it spiritual joy, the initial calmness, the spiritual peace or joy or calmness, where the mind becomes very quiet, then it settled down. And then this nimitta, the color, the movement, they will appear. Then when they appear, most of the cultivator, first time they realize it or experience it, they feel very good. Because it's a calm state, the initial calm state. But they don't know what this thing is. So they continue to actually absorb into it, then develop the what they call concentration. Then from piti, it become blissful, no? Sukhang, no? Then they absorb into it and become very blissful. No? The mind goes through that bliss. No? And there, they will debate already. Once you go into sukhang, it will end up with one-pointedness already. Well, these are jhanic factor. Jhanic factor got five. The initial application of thought, vitaka. You apply your thought on the object of meditation. Means like the thought based on, they focus, they concentrate, or they repeat. So they apply the thought there, stay there. Then The next one is vichara, sustain thought. They sustain it. After apply, they sustain it. Then they experience piti, actually. Then sukhang, the fourth jhanic factor. When they hit sukhang, they will go for one-pointedness, equanimity. So this one-pointedness or equanimity, so-called equanimity, is actually thought-induced. So the thought-induced equanimity is not the real equanimity enlightenment factor, where that one is without wisdom. So this jhanic factor, applied thought, sustained thought, piti, sukhang, and ekagata lead to jhana, a lot of energy build up on concentration. Yeah. That's why once they go there, they debate already. But for awareness-based cultivator, you do not go there. You stay at piti, then you continue to relax into it. What they did the other side, thought based on it, they don't know how to relax into it. They don't know how to maintain awareness. That's why they cannot progress beyond piti. After piti, they will go into what they call sukhang, blissfulness. Then they will go into concentration, one-pointedness, energy field. They will build up. Then they go into jhanic state and honesty. Whereas cultivator, the way that develops sati, mindfulness and awareness, they will continue to relax when they experience piti. Relax, maintain awareness. Then this mind become very quiet. Then after a while, even the nimitta all disappear. Where these are sankhara activity, the silent activity movement that still continue to move before you develop the silent mind. So the silent mind or the paucity, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the fifth enlightenment factor, can only arise when your piti, the fourth enlightenment factor, that one become like very relaxed, quiet, and still. Then you will develop what we call paucity. Paucity is the true mind, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind, without thought, without movement. Now, that one is very important. If you don't hit that one, it will go to thought base. It can never stay at awareness base. Yeah. So when that paucity arises, that is the silent mind, the true mind. I use that to meditate. Then stabilize that paucity until it becomes samadhi. Yeah, samadhi. So samadhi is not jhana. The two words are different. So samadhi is collectedness of mind. The mind that is a free mind, that is aware, without thought, has stabilized and become collected, unwavering. Collected, unwavering, but it's a free mind. It's not a mind in concentration or absorption. It's a free mind that stabilized through wisdom and understanding. That is the big difference. So once you can do that, you will progress faster.
But the thing is, brother Teo, during that stage, you realize that it's absorbing you, it's sucking you in, is it?
Correct. And, it will draw you. Never
yeah,
mind.
It draw me
easily
in, but
experience it. Don't be
but
afraid
the thing
of
is,
it.
I couldn't stay long. Is it? There's no. You say, come on. I'll just.
Okay. You listen. You listen.
Yeah. Okay.
When you are near that state of paucity, this is what happened. The thought behind was surface. Because from that nature to the thinking is very near. That's why your verbalization, come out, all this is your mundane mind, the thought telling you inside that. That's why they are very near. You must continue to relax and maintain awareness. I mean, don't try to know, don't try to do it. Don't try to even arise a thought or let the thought tell you anything. It's like when you know that it's drawing you into concentration already, because you are aware. Understand? When you are aware, you must remember to relax into it. Once you relax into it, that absorption, that thing that want to pull you in, cannot do anything. You just stay with it, relax. Then the awareness nature will make it into a free mind again, without concentration, without anything. But initially, don't worry. Go into the absorption for a while. Feel the bliss. You can feel the bliss. Feel it. Experience it. It's really very, very, what I should say, I also don't know how to describe to you. That word blissfulness is really true. It's so blissful, you know. It's not only joy, you know, but it really blissful, you know. Until sometimes they use the word like tingling sensation or all that. It's really blissful, but experience it enough, then come out of it.
Okay.
So that you understand what this is. But the key thing to remember is awareness-based meditation and thought-based, they are very near to each other. Because from that nature, the paucity, thought arise, understand? No? Even before you go into paucity, at pity, the thought also still there. The thought will keep on telling you story, verbalize, and a lot of thought movement is still active there. But when you can continuously relax, maintain awareness, and stabilize it, then it becomes very quiet, very still. Let that stillness settle down and stabilize into samadhi. From paucity, it's a free mind without thought. That one very important. That paucity, tranquility, stillness of mind, silent mind, without thought, means there is no conditioning, nothing. You're not holding on to anything. No method, no object of meditation, no focusing or concentration, nothing. The mind is just in a state of relaxed quietness. Maintain awareness means stay with the awareness nature, become very quiet, very still. Let it stabilize. Once that one stabilize, you will progress very fast. You will understand what I share and what I say. All will become very clear. Yeah. So remember to relax and maintain awareness until that pity arrives. Pity, when it arises, until that paucity arises. When that paucity arises, it's tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, without thought. It's a free mind that is completely without thought, but it's just away. But most people, when they hit that one, I remember, the thought will come in very fast. What is this? How come like that? Because you want to know. That's why I say, don't try to know. The one that want to know is the thought. So you stay with the awareness nature, relax into it, and silent, and continuously relax. And maintain the ability to be aware inside until the mind enters sati. When the mind enters sati, the person doing it, they will know, they will understand. Then after that, all your activity and movement, they are like magnified. Your slightest adjustment to your posture or your physical phenomena or activity, your mindfulness and awareness will detect it one. And it like magnify until like small movement become like magnify until very big movement. But in actual fact, it is still the same very subtle and small movement. But because of your awareness, the sati, the mind has entered sati, it becomes sensitive. It like magnify the thing. It can like show it to you very clearly, you know, this whole activity and more. Means all your specific phenomenal awareness with that phenomena, they will move with your awareness. Means your awareness and the phenomena move as one. That is body and mind as one. That is mind and the sati. At that time, all your kaya activity, movement, physical activity, physical phenomena, they are like in tandem with your mindfulness. Your mindfulness and the activity move as one. And then that time, Throughout the day, you are mindful, aware. Like, no more thought, hardly any thought. Unless you want to use thought to live life, the thought won't arise on. Then most of the time, you are just mindful, aware of the phenomena. No thought. You become very quiet, very still. That is the progress that will manifest for cultivator of the way to understand the big difference. When you are mindful, aware, and heedful, there is no thought. And you are so calm, so still, so tranquil, and there is clarity. Then for the first time in your life, you can see a lot of things. You can observe a lot of nature's activity and movement with the silent mind. It's just aware. We call it specific phenomenal awareness. Then later on, when you are good at it, then when you go in and develop this awareness-based meditation, you can silence your mind completely and don't do anything. Then that mind will become aware inside without a center. Means there is no specific phenomena for it to be aware. It is just that oneness nature. Your awareness has become one with your so-called true mind, silent mind. Then you merge into that oneness. And when you are in that state, I use a new term to describe it. Means you are in the state of awareness without a center. Means it's no longer specific phenomenal awareness, understand? This one is the pure awareness nature without a center. Without a center means it is not even with any phenomena. Then that one will merge into the oneness nature. Then your nature like manifests and you are like with that nature, the entire oneness nature. And during that time, you become very different. You will come to know very clearly. Inside that nature is not a being. It cannot come out and live life. When you are with that nature, how should I describe it? You will know there is no being inside one. And like, there is nothing one. You cannot describe anything, but there is no word, nothing. So, sometimes I have to use word to describe it. Like you will understand that you are nothing, you are nobody. But that thing is not a thing. Understand? But I have to use word to describe it. The awareness that is with the oneness is actually that nature, your pure awareness nature, the oneness nature. Then during your that time, that awareness, like very distant activity or sound or what, in outer space or whatever, if you want to know, you can know. Because the awareness is able to be aware. And very, very far and very distant phenomena, if your awareness nature wants to understand, it can understand. That's why it has that power. But when you are inside that state, normally for the first time, you will experience it very clearly on. Then when you come out of it, you become very different. You will develop clear understanding that there is nobody inside there. He know you, he know me. And that pure nature is a nature, it's not a being. It cannot come out and live life. And there is a nature within. And this is the one that actually come out from our source. We call it the primordial mind. Means originally, it was already there. But when we take birth through the form and mind, as a human being or a living being, it's the same. Once you take birth, what happens is the karmic process, the karmic nature will condition a form and mind for us to come. So like this segment of my life, you are called Brother Teo, and you, Wa, Brother Kwa, this is your form and mind. This is not you, understand? But this is karmically conditional for us to come. Yeah. And this is a vehicle and tool for us to come and live life and develop all this whatever so-called karmic going through the karmic process and all those things, and developing the understanding, the cultivation, live life, or whatever. Everything about existence is this form and mind. And this form and mind is subject to karma. So you will know. But within that form and mind inside there, there is a nature that comes with the karmic process. And that nature, you need to meditate with the awareness nature to locate it, to have a glimpse of it. Then when you stabilize it, when you can locate it, then the gateway will surface. Then from the gateway, you will know how to actually assess that nature. Then that nature, once you assess it, you will understand it very clearly. It's so different. It is beyond thought, beyond mind, completely different. So hopefully with this explanation, slowly develop the faith and train your mind as per what you have been doing, so that you can stabilize this inner awareness until it becomes paucity, tranquility, stillness of mind, the silent mind. Just stay there.
Thank you,
then let the mind enter sati. Then you will understand. You will progress. A lot of things will happen. Very good, Sadhu.
Sadhu, Sadhu. All this understanding sadhu. To be realized, Baratheel. Thank you very much.
Good. Okay, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, we better end. We are 10:37 already. Wow, very fast. Thank you so much, Brother Kwa, for creating the condition. Okay, let us share merit. Akasata ca bumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang tang anumoditwa Cirang rakantu lokasasana Itta wata jamehi Sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu Sapasampati sidiya Idang menya tidang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Devo asatukalena sasa sampati hetu ca. Vito bhavatu loko ca. Raja bhavatu dhammiko. Imena punyang kamena. Mame bala sama gamo satang sama gamo hotu yawa nivana patia sadu sadu sadu. Okay, you can all now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end, sadu.